And now the letters from the readers of the Evening News. Several diverse topics raised this week, from the troubles in the restaurant trade to obesity, and from Anglia Square to parking at the hospital.
The big news story nationally this week has been about problems in the charity sector, with Oxfam coming in for special criticism. Michael Duncombe of Norwich feels that they are still worthy of support and writes, "The charity sector is having a very bad time at the moment. Oxfam in particular has been engulfed by accusations of bad behaviour in Haiti during the 2011 disaster. On the overseas front generally, this may not be an isolated incident. Charities, and in particular their shops, represent one of the largest groups of retailers in the UK. Many of us use them regularly, both giving and buying goods. They enjoy favourable rates and largely free labour, though with paid management. Generally speaking, their costs are reasonable and contributions are used for good works here and overseas. Increasingly, they are propping up retailing, one of the most deeply troubled sections of our business society. We must be careful to ensure shops, headquarters and overseas operations are carefully monitored because they are important and influential. The best of the shops care for their staff, display well and provide good opportunities for volunteers. Oxfam and their Magdalen Street branch in particular does well. Many high street charities are indeed worldwide in their operation, but there would be many more empty spaces on our high streets without the charity shops. Overseas Aid, too, with all its shortcomings, could not function if Oxfam, Christian Aid, CAFOD, the UN, etc. did not exist. Yes, there are bad apples abroad and very likely at home, but let's not boycott our favourite charities just yet."
The health of the nation is the subject of the letter from Steve Mackinder of Denver. And he thinks a major problem is, well, we're all a bit too chubby. He writes, "I could be wrong, but James Dye's statement that the biggest problem facing the UK is drug abuse is possibly a little wide of the mark. There's no doubt that the trade and use of illegal drugs contributes to a lot of unhappiness and mayhem and deaths. But I'd guess the really big issue is probably alcohol and ballooning levels of obesity, both of which will not benefit from the intervention of either Royal Marines or the SAS. Before we get hysterical about the problems that drugs are causing in society, we need to address the issue of our addictive nature in terms of cutting our alcohol consumption and the continual wolfing down of packets of pre-prepared, processed fatty foods. As someone who has allowed the pounds to creep onto my waistband, I think I can speak with a little authority. But as much as I'd like to blame the government, I know who's really to blame. However, it would probably help if I could engage the services of one of the aforementioned Royal Marines to direct me towards the nearest boot camp. Drugs are a scourge and need better controls, but the elephant, literally, in the room, in most households, is fat. Let's deal with that as a priority."
The much-discussed proposed redevelopment of Anglia Square is the subject raised by David O'Brien of Spixworth. He writes, "Why has Norwich City Council handed over £12 million to the owners of Anglia Square without any conditions, i.e. no tower? Western Homes, Columbia Threadneedle, are companies under the umbrella of the Threadneedle Group, an asset management company with many billions of dollars of assets worldwide. This £12 million could and should have been used to build council houses on city land around the city. This money could have built approximately 500 new council homes. Instead, Norwich City Council has simply handed over the cheque to Threadneedle without any conditions. Will Western Homes, Columbia Threadneedle, pay back the £12 million once the development is complete?"
Parking at the hospital has always been a problem. Attleborough reader Des Aves feels that scrapping the charges may not be the answer. He writes, "Recently there's been talk suggesting the scrapping of charges for hospital parking. Firstly, I strongly believe that staff should not be charged for parking. Their hard work and dedication should be rewarded, not penalised. However, if other charges were scrapped, how long would it be before the selfish, I'd like to use stronger language, Types would latch onto this and use the spaces to park for the day whilst they use the park and ride to get to work or go shopping in Norwich. Surely there must be a way for parking tickets to be validated on production of a valid appointment letter at the reception desk.
The gasometer on Gas Hill is due for demolition. Reader Norma Broadest of Norwich thinks this is a wasted opportunity. She writes, "Bulldoze the Gas Hill gasometer? No, it is a piece of history. Councillors think radical and do what the city fathers in Oberhausen, Westphalia, Germany did with theirs. Turn it into a stunning museum. 2 years ago, I was able to lay back comfortably on a large cushion in a circular forum, pretending to be Tim Peake as he circled the Earth in the space station. Brilliant! On the ground floor, there was a glossy, colourful, photographic exhibition of the worldwide life of animals and plants, just one of several sights to see there. It has proved to be a great tourist attraction."
The restaurant trade nationally is facing a few problems, and there have been several closures in Norwich this year. Contacting the paper by email, Honky Tonk thinks the reason is quite straightforward, and he writes, "If you want the honest truth, restaurants are closing because Norwich has reached saturation point. Incomes in Norfolk are not high, and so only a limited section of the population have the spare money to use restaurants regularly, and as a result, not everyone can sustain their business over the long term. It's all about supply and demand, and at the moment it's only bars and eateries that are opening up in the city. So it's inevitable that for every new business, there will be a casualty somewhere else. Honky Tonk."
More letters next week, but now we report that Norfolk is to be celebrated on Norfolk Day, Friday, July the 27th to be precise, and we have a handful of stories concerning planning in its various forms.